Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, we're going to be in a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 12. So we're going to cover about 9 verses there. But let me introduce the topic for today in this way. How many of you have ever seen either a newspaper or a magazine print what we refer to as a retraction? You ever seen that before? That's usually fine print, isn't it? I mean, pretty fine print. But sometimes, hey, people make mistakes and they do this. Well, I was reading about one particular newspaper in Kansas who was printing a retraction, correcting a mistake that they had made in a previous issue. And this is what they wrote. "We wish to apologize for an error in the wedding story in last week's paper due to a typesetter's mistake. We said the roses were punk instead of pink. What we intended to say was the noses were pink." So in printing the retraction, they made another mistake. And so the next day, they got it right. They again apologized and said, "What we really tried to say was the roses were pink." Well, people make mistakes. That happens. But how about this one? Boise, Idaho, a few years ago, the night janitor of the First Security Bank accidentally put a box of 8,000 checks worth $840,000 on a trash table and left it there. A nightmare occurred. The operator of the paper shredder dumped all the contents into his machine, cutting them into quarter-inch shreds and dumping them into a garbage can outside the bank. When the bank supervisor found out about it, he said, "I want to cry." Most of the checks had been cashed at the bank and were waiting shipment to a clearinghouse. Their loss would result in a bookkeeping nightmare because most of the checks were still unrecorded. So the bankers could not know who paid what to whom. So here's what they did to correct the mistake. They decided they were going to gather all the shredded pieces together and reconstruct each check. 8,000 checks. Can you imagine how tedious this work must have been? Here's what happened. 50 employees worked in 2 shifts for 6 hours a day inside 6 different rooms, shifting, matching, and pasting checks back together. And when I read that story, I wondered what happened to that janitor and the person who did the paper shredding. Well, I tell this story simply to ask this. Is there anyone here today that's never made a mistake in their life? Because if there is, this sermon is not for you. The fact is that all of us have made mistakes. Some big, some little, some with harsher consequences than others. Can you remember the dumbest mistake you've ever made? Well, you probably can, but I suspect you don't want to think about it or talk about it. And I admit to you, I've made a whole bunch of dumb mistakes in my life. In fact, I'm going to share about one mistake that I made twice at the end of the message today. But what we can all admit to is making mistakes in our lives, even though we don't like to admit the embarrassing ones or the costly ones. Here's what we need to remember. Though some mistakes are more costly than others, regardless of the cost of the mistakes we make, we can be forgiven for them because of Jesus. Providing that we recognize that if our mistake was a sin, and lots of times the mistakes we make aren't sinful mistakes, but if they are, we can repent, we can turn our lives over to the one who can forgive, the one who can correct our shortcomings. And I praise God for that today. Jesus tells this parable in Luke 12 that deals with what I'm going to call today mistaken values. And that's the title of the message. We refer to this as the parable of the rich fool. And it tells us about some big mistakes and values that some people make. So I want to begin by looking at the parable. So I want to read what Luke says. This is Jesus' parable. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. The Bible says this. And he, Jesus, told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you, and as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? Such is the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in relation to God. Before we take a closer look at this story, this parable, as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom, blessing, and understanding as we take a few moments to study his word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are so grateful that you are here with us. We are grateful for what we were able to be here to recognize, and we just did that as we came around your table, and what Jesus did on the cross for us. And Lord, I recognize that in our mistakes in life, sometimes they're embarrassing, sometimes they're costly, sometimes they're sinful. But Lord, we are grateful that you take care of every single one of them. And Lord, we praise you for that. Today, Lord, as we look at this parable, the rich fool, help us to understand the mistakes that were made there, and that you'll help us not make those same mistakes as we live our lives for you. But Lord, again, the privilege is, if and when we make mistakes, you correct them, you forgive us, and we give you praise. Bless your word in our time is my prayer today. Use me in a way that will be challenging and encouraging to those who are here and those who are watching or listening. And we will give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 13 through 15 of Luke chapter 12 serve as a background for what Jesus said in his parable. So I want to look at those three verses. Verse 13 says, now someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Well, perhaps this man was being cheated in the division of the family estate, we don't know. What we do know is in the Old Testament that oftentimes the older brother would give a double portion of the inheritance. That's the way God set it up. But whatever the reason here, the man recognized Jesus as the one he felt would judge rightly in their situation. But Jesus was not going to be drawn into this man's family dispute. So he says, verse 14, but he, Jesus, said to him, you there, who appointed me as a judge or an arbitrator over the two of you? Jesus wasn't here to settle disputes. Instead, in this parable of the rich fool, he provided the solution to what he must have recognized as the man's real problem, and the problem was greed. Now, how do I know that? Verse 15. But he said to them, now I want you to notice here, he didn't say it to the man. He said to them. In other words, he said this to everybody there. He said it so that you and I could hear too. But he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one is affluent does his life consist of his possessions. If you were to define greed, I've heard it defined in different ways. It's the all-consuming desire to have more of something. It's the attitude that material possessions will satisfy all of our needs. Paul calls greed idolatry, Colossians 3, verse 5, because the greedy person worships or depends on things, not God. Did you know that Jesus spoke more about material possessions than he did about heaven? Could it be that it was because if people were going to get into heaven, then we must have the right perspective about our possessions? Jesus knew that the acquisition of wealth was and is still a cheap ambition of many people, both then and still today. Jesus wants us to learn that there is more to life than just a material inheritance. So in order to illustrate this truth, he then told this parable about a foolish farmer. Now, I want to look at three mistakes and values this foolish farmer made, but in going along with the title of the message, a mistake in value, the mistake was he was greedy. That's his mistake. But it manifested himself in different ways. So here are three ways, three other mistakes he made because he was greedy. Number one, he planned for his needs, but forgot his neighbor's. Look at verse 17. He began thinking to himself, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Now the good thing was, he had a good crop coming in that year. And he began to wonder what he was going to do with his surplus. Nothing wrong with that. But it sounds like, in the parable that Jesus tells, that he was not thinking about anybody but himself. 11 times in 5 verses, the words "I" and "my" appear. He was centering his life on himself and did not seek God's word as a means to answer his own question. The point is, anytime we think only about ourselves, our wants, our needs, what we want to do, and never consider anybody else, then we are in trouble. We're in trouble with the Lord because he wants us to think of others. In that wisdom book that we call Proverbs, I like what chapter 11 says, beginning in verse 24. "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in poverty. A generous person will be prosperous, and one who gives others plenty of water will himself be given plenty. One who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." Now, the whole idea in these three verses is that people, when they think of others, are going to be blessed. When they're willing to share, they're going to be blessed. But Jesus wants us to be unselfish. He wants us to be thinking of others, of how we can help people and bless them. Because if we claim to follow Jesus, then we'll have to do what Jesus did. Peter said he was always doing good to others. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." And I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 4:28, because I believe this directly applies to the parable. Paul says, "The one who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor, producing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need." Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians, and he's telling us today, the main reason that we labor. Now, yes, I know other passages. We work to provide for our families. Amen. That's what we do. But there's another reason why we work. There's another reason why we labor, so that we will have something to share with those in need. That's what Paul says here. I heard a preacher friend of mine put it this way: God doesn't care what kind of car you drive, but he may ask you who you provided transportation for when they needed a ride. God doesn't care what neighborhood you live in, but he may ask you how you treated your neighbors. God doesn't care what kind of clothes you wear, but he may ask you how many people you helped to clothe in your lifetime. I like that. The man in this story had plenty, but he did not sacrifice for others. And Jesus said he was a fool. So let's remember that when we plan for our needs, and there's nothing wrong with that, there's everything right with that. When we plan for our needs, we must also remember the needs of others. Second mistake this rich fool made was he was blessed with his goods, but forgot the giver. Verse 18 says, "And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store my grain and my goods there.'" Yes, the rich fool thought about his material goods, but he forgot about the giver of the goods. Let me remind you of what you know, and the Bible teaches us. All good physical and spiritual things come from who? God. That's what James says. Chapter 1, beginning verse 16. James writes, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All good things come from God our Father, yet there are times when we forget about the goodness of God. One preacher tells a story about meeting up with a friend that he hadn't seen for a few years. He said his friend, they got there, and his friend looked at the preacher's car. He said, wow, he said, that car looks pretty nice. It was 2 years old, only had 15,000 miles on it. The preacher started complaining to his friend about the car. He told his friend that he'd had trouble with it, and he didn't really like it, and he was going to go get another one because he didn't like this new car with 15,000 miles on it. Well, after he got finished complaining, his friend told him about an old Dodge that he had just bought. It had over 85,000 miles on it. And as his friend was telling him, the preacher was thinking to himself, well, I'd never buy a car with that many miles on it. It's already half worn out. His friend went on to tell him how most of the miles were highway miles, that the car was a good car. And it was, he said, a blessing from the Lord. In fact, his friend put it this way, it's a good car, God gave it to me. Now, he had bought and paid for it, but he understood that God was the one that provided it for him. Now, I want you to get the picture here. Here's this preacher complaining about his fairly new car, and his friend praising God for this car he had just bought with all these miles on it, telling this preacher it was a blessing from God. Well, the preacher got the message. He got humbled real fast, and he said he learned a good lesson on being thankful for what he had. As I thought about that, we all have a tendency to be that way sometimes, I think. We take many of our blessings for granted, and then we gripe about the ones that we have, forgetting about how good God has been to us. Here's one other thing to think about. How many of you ever heard a comment similar to this? I've worked hard for everything I've got in life. Nobody gave me anything. Everything I have, I've earned. I've worked hard doing it. Well, while part of that is true, the essence of that statement's just not true. Why? Because everything we have comes from God. And yes, it's good to work hard. But we should never forget who butters our bread, and who gives us what we have. Psalm 103, 1 and 2 puts it this way. Bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. The Bible teaches us that one of the best ways that we can show appreciation and recognize the giver of our goods is to give. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 8, freely you received, freely give. And I'm thankful we have a congregation of givers here. And I know that. And I just want to keep encouraging you to give generously, give cheerfully, give regularly to the Lord's church and other places where the Lord's work is being done. Give as you are blessed. Now, I'm going to challenge you for a moment because I was challenged with this a few years ago. This isn't my question. I heard another preacher ask this question, but I'm going to ask a question to help you determine if you are giving cheerfully and from the heart. Here's the question. What do you think of first when you receive an unexpected financial blessing? Think about that for a moment. What do you think of first? You got a bonus that you weren't expecting. You got a tax rebate that was larger than you thought it was going to be. You inherited some money that you didn't think you were going to inherit, or at least not as much as you thought. What do you think of first when determining how you're going to spend that blessing? That's the question. Now, I can tell you what most people do. They will decide what they will do for themselves and their family first, and then Christians might say, well, you know, we need to give some of this to the church. We need to give some of this to a worthy cause. And that's true, they should. But shouldn't we determine what God is going to receive back from us before we even think about what we want or need? That's the challenge. In considering the blessings that you and I have received, we can't forget the giver. Third mistake this rich fool made was this. He trusted in his savings but forgot the Savior. Verse 19 says, and I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, Enjoy yourself. He focused on his funds, but he forgot his faith. He totally forgot not only who the giver of his goods was, we just talked about, but he also forgot who was in charge of his future. And suddenly, that very night, his life was demanded of him. Look at how Jesus ends the parable, beginning in verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you, and as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? Such is the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in relation to God." All this rich fool was thinking about was the here and now, not the hereafter. We sometimes have the tendency to do the same thing. We do it in a number of different ways. I'm just going to give you this example. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So when we come together, we have this privilege of, especially here in the United States, of being able to freely gather together as God's children. But yet we miss church, we miss the assembling together for various reasons. Some of them are justifiable reasons. But often, it's simply because we're wrapped up with life and its luxuries. So James says in James 4, beginning verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Jesus compares our lives to a vapor. It appears in the sky and suddenly it's gone. And the older I get, maybe you're feeling the same way, the more I understand life's pretty short, isn't it? No matter how long we live on earth, James is saying that most people get all wrapped up in making plans for their lives, but they forget about preparing for the next life. As Jesus said, a person is a fool who is not rich toward God, regardless of what his financial situation in this life might be. There is a life that follows this life, and it is eternal. It will never end. Are you making plans for that life? I came across this illustration. It says this: he brushed his teeth twice a day with a nationally advertised toothpaste. The doctors examined him twice a year. He wore his boots when it rained or snowed. He slept with the windows open to get fresh air. He stuck to a diet with plenty of fresh vegetables and fruits. He gave up his tonsils and traded in several worn-out glands. He got at least 8 hours of sleep every day. He never smoked, drank, nor lost his temper. He did his daily dozen every day, meaning his exercises. He was all set to live to be 100 years old because that was his goal. And then the article concludes in this way: his funeral will be held Wednesday. He will be survived by 18 specialists, 4 health institutes, 6 gyms, along with numerous manufacturers of health foods and antiseptics. He made just one mistake. He forgot the Savior. That man was like so many other people in our world today. They think about enjoying the pleasures of this life, but they forget all about the fact that someday this life here on earth will end and then we enter into eternity. Last point is what I want you to understand here. I'm going to make. It is always okay for us to possess things. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't take that wrong. I'm not saying that at all. It is always okay for us to possess things. But it is never okay for things to possess us. That's what I want you to leave here understanding. Proverbs 11:4 puts it this way: riches do not profit on the day of wrath. When Jesus comes back, it doesn't matter. Riches do not profit on the day of wrath, but righteousness rescues from death. One of the biggest mistakes people can make in this life is to trust in their savings but forget the Savior. Someone has rightly observed, the only reason for worldly possessions is that through them a man might serve the Lord by serving his fellow man. To accumulate worldly possessions for any other reason is foolishness. Now I want to end in this way. I told you at the beginning, I was going to share with you 2 mistakes I made. It's actually the same mistake, happened twice. 2 different times, I have left clothes in a room while on vacation. First time, I was a senior in high school. A friend and I had gone to Florida. We wanted to play baseball when we got out of school, so we went to visit a junior college there. The rest of our class went to Washington, D.C. He and I went to Florida. Well, when we got back, my mom asked me where one pair of pants and shirt were. I didn't even realize I didn't have them. Of course, she knew what she packed for me. She said, "Where's this pants and shirt?" Well, I realized I left them in the motel in Ocala, Florida. So I called the motel. They were never found. Second time I left some clothes while on vacation happened 25 years ago in 2000 when Debbie and I were celebrating our 25th anniversary. I left two pairs of pants and a shirt in Maui, Hawaii. But here's the neat thing about what happened. We had left there and we'd gone over to Honolulu. So I called the resort where we stayed and they had already found the clothes. The manager asked where I wanted them to be sent and I said, "Well, just send them to my home address." And then I said, "Okay, what's this going to cost? I'll send the money to you to have my clothes shipped home." He said, "Nope, don't worry about it." He said, "We're going to send them back to you free of charge. We just appreciate you coming and staying with us." And that's exactly what they did. Now, here's why I'm sharing that story. I was the one who made the mistake. I was the one who should have paid the price to ship those clothes home. But because the owners of those condominiums were so kind, they showed me a little grace and they paid the price to ship my clothes home. And needless to say, I appreciated that very much. Here's the application I want to make. In a much greater, a far greater way, Jesus Christ has shown us his grace and he has paid the price for all of our mistakes, no matter how big or how small they have been. And the biggest mistake that people make in life is the mistake of not following Jesus. And I don't want you to make that same mistake. The price Jesus paid on that old rugged cross at Calvary is why we have hope. It is why we come together. It is why we have the assurance that someday we're going to be able to go home. We're going to be able to spend heaven and eternity with our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you praise the Lord for that truth today? I praise him for that.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.